What's up, guys? Kevin Allen here, aka The Geek from DFS Army, and it is the big day. DraftKings has just dropped NFL Week 1 2023, salaries, pricing, all of that stuff, and we're going to do a way too early first look breakdown. We're just taking a look, getting a feel. Training camp hasn't happened yet. Things are going to get crazy between now and opening day, but I'm excited. Couldn't wait. So let's get into a quick look at NFL Week 1. We'll flex the old breakdown NFL breakdown muscles here, get back into the game, get our heads back into the game. We got a ton coming up this season, so I'm obviously extremely excited about all of that. But let's get started here, and let's just take a look at NFL Week 1. And again, before we're going to take a look, always, before we take a look at these salaries, we're going to take a look at the game tiles, and you're going to see something really, really interesting here. So I just brought up BetMGM, whatever. Take a look at the game totals. Game totals are really, really important when trying to figure out fantasy production and fantasy totals, fantasy expectations. So what I noticed about Week 1, the main slate, which is, of course, the 1 to 4 p.m. slate, is we don't have a lot of games with high totals at all here. There's just a couple. Most of them are sub 45-point total, so below average scoring expectation, and I'll show you what I mean. Starting with, you know, Panthers, Falcons, probably a run-focused type of a game. I'm excited about some players on these teams, especially running backs on both teams, really. But overall, not a whole lot going on here, 42-point total. The nice thing, though, about Week 1 is because all the games have really, really low totals, except for maybe one or two in the high 40s, but most of them are low 40s, which means we can pretty much target whatever game we want. We're going to look at some team totals as well here and maybe find scenarios where that's interesting. But yeah, Falcons, Panthers, close game, low scoring, running backs, and maybe, you know, a wide receiver from each team just because they're super cheap on those two teams. Bijan, Miles Sanders, we got some exciting, inexpensive potential at the running back position there as well. Texans at Ravens, you can see here, that's a 44.5-point total. It's mostly on the Ravens side. Texans, you know, should improve this year. Should be a little better. CJ, so they should be a little bit better, but not something I don't think we could really figure out on the Texans where, what to expect, what wide receivers are going to get the football, that kind of thing. Stroud there, I like him long term, but who the wide receivers are, it's a little tricky Week 1. So let's be careful there. Ravens, the return of Lamar, the new look offense, all of that. I'm actually pretty excited about the Ravens, and I think there'll be some bargain priced wide receivers there. But it's also interesting when checking out the Ravens that they've got Lamar Jackson priced as the most expensive, which generally I don't like that. Although, hey, you never know Week 1. Jaguars at the Colts, 43.5-point total. Colts with Anthony Richardson coming in. So they've got the new starter probably at quarterback. Jacksonville going to debut Calvin Ridley, but for the most part, returning a similar team to what we saw last year. Lots of exciting pieces. Low scoring game, though, here. And interesting that Jacksonville is only a 3.5-point favorite. That's kind of weird for me. I think they should be bigger favorites than that going up against that rookie quarterback for the Colts. So you might want to get on that bet here before those numbers change. Bucks at the Vikings. This is a slightly higher total game at 45.5. Bucks on the road, you know, maybe Baker Mayfield at quarterback. Not something I'm going to get super excited about. Vikings, debut of Addison. We could take a look at where he's priced. You know, I think people will be looking at Alexander Mattison, although he's fully priced in as a starter. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of value there. Here we go. Titans at the Saints. Saints 3-point favorites, 41.5-point total. This game just looks ugly on paper. Doesn't mean it will be. It looks kind of ugly. I mean, it doesn't mean that Saints players aren't reasonable here. Michael Thomas, I guess. We have to see the status of Kamara for Week 1. You know, obviously the Titans have Derrick Henry on the team. They also have, you know, a bunch of wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins. So there's some interest there. We'll take a look and see what's going on with those players. Nothing jumps off. And again, a 41-point total is not exactly sexy. 49ers at the Steelers. Don't know who the 49ers quarterback will even be at this point. Tough game to cap. Christian McCaffrey, probably up there, one of the more expensive running backs on the slate. Not sure that I want to pay that on the road at the Steelers, where Elijah Mitchell's healthy and they don't tend to lean that heavy into CM sizzles when they have backups there. So Cardinals, Commanders, these are two of the worst teams in the NFL. I think the Cardinals will be the worst team in the NFL this year. I get why they're underdogs here. I don't even think plus six is enough. The Commanders, not good, but better than what Arizona's bringing to the table. I don't expect a lot of offensive fireworks at all in that one. Not a game I'm looking to target heavily. Bears, Packers, this has some sneaky appeal for me. I really think that the Packers could be a little bit better than what we're giving them credit for. I like the Bears this year as well. Fields to DJ Moore, I'm excited about that. So we'll take a look at that combo. 44.5 point totals, fine. But I'm excited about that game. Of course, we've got an Eagles game on the menu here. And anytime Jalen Hurts is in the mix, he's going to be smashing. That's just how he do. So I'm interested in that. Eagles 4.5 point favorites on the road at New England. Yeah, I'd be interested in the Eagles pieces in this game for sure. Raiders at the Broncos. You know, Broncos 3.5 point home favorites. We got the debut of the Sean Payton helmed, you know, new look Russell Wilson. We'll see if that's really a thing or if Russell Wilson just kind of sucks again. I'm leaning the latter over the four. I think it's more likely that Russell Wilson's just not that good anymore and isn't going to be, rather than it was a scheme thing from last season. Okay, now we get to one of the best looking games on the slate, and this will be the chalk game. These two games will be where the chalk comes from, these two late games. So I think this is, we want to pay close attention to these two situations. You got the Dolphins at the Chargers. Okay, that's a 49.5 point total, close spread. Chargers slight favorites. This has all the makings of a sexy game. You know, Chargers, Austin Eckler, all those pieces, the rookie, Quentin Johnson, the rookie wide receiver. I'm not sure he'll be very relevant. Austin Eckler, he might be holding out right now. We'll see what happens with him. But the Chargers overall, always good. I generally think Herbert is like a disappointment machine in DFS. He just, I don't know. I think he gets more credit than due. But you never know. It's a new year and all of that. And of course, on the Miami side, it's Tua and two of. You got Tua, Hill, Waddle. They added, you know, they added a little bit at they really haven't added much. They had a little bit of running back with the rookie whose name escapes me. The little guy, he's about 190-pounder, though, and don't expect too much there. Although, we'll take a look if his salary is min salary. I'm kind of interested. Devon Achane, I think, is the name. We'll see. Forget. You know, on the Chargers side, again, I just like this game, so we're going to see how to target it. But Tua, I think, is in play. Again, you know, he's got the concussion thing that we're worried about over the course of a full season, but I don't care on a week-to-week basis. I'm not going to worry about that. And finally, we got the Rams at Seattle, and this is a 47.5 point total. Seattle, 5.5 point home favorites. I really like this game. I like it for a lot of the players in the game, just on both sides. Cooper Kupp, obviously, with Matt Stafford healthy, tends to smash. He's going to be priced up like crazy, though. Seattle, we've got, you know, I don't really know how to play the Seattle side. Maybe a little Kenny Walker, maybe a little bit of like the field isn't on Kenny Walker. I'd say the same thing about the Rams and Cam Akers. They don't have anyone else to run the football, really. So Cam Akers is going to get a heavy workload, and he is, I think, underpriced for what to expect. So that takes us through the game tiles and the game totals. And again, there are really only two games here with totals over 44.5. And that's the last two games on the slate. Miami, Chargers, and Rams, Seattle. So let's keep that in mind as we look over the player pricing, the salaries, and all of that. And the goal of this video will be to put together sort of an initial first look lineup as well. But really, what I'm trying to do is go through each position group and just get a sense of where people are, what the salaries are, any value that seems to be popping out. Again, we're in the preseason and we're before even training camps have begun. So a lot of stuff is going to present itself. We'll have players who are doing really well in training camp that kind of step up. I'll mention a few names that I think might be that, those kind of people, but we might find out about players, especially, you know, wide receivers, for example, on Houston and Carolina and some of these teams that don't have very, very clear cut hierarchies. There'll be some injuries as well. Maybe some value will pop up in that regard. So let's start at the quarterback position, and we'll start at the top and just take a look at how the salaries fell here. And like I said, it's really interesting to me to see that Lamar Jackson is the most expensive quarterback on the slate. I mean, I get it, kind of, but not really. There's nothing about Lamar Jackson's 2022 season that says he should be one of the top scorers. 21.2 points per game. Just, you know, for comparative purposes, Jalen Hurts is at 27. So, you know, Jalen Hurts, it fields 21.2. I guess who knew they're about the same, but yeah. And Herbert down to 18 from last year. Again, Burrow had a pretty good year last year, surprising a lot of people, but the fantasy points per game does not support Lamar Jackson being the most expensive quarterback on the slate. That being said, and I actually don't tend to like Lamar Jackson in like less competitive games, like what this might be. I think they could lean run heavy. I think they dominate Houston with their defense. Houston got the rookie quarterback. So I am not on board with Lamar at all week one. Not to say he's not a tournament viable play, but I'm going to pay down for Jalen Hurts every single time or Justin Fields in this spot. So Jalen Hurts at New England, great. Justin Fields at home against Green Bay. This is a game I want to target a little bit heavier than the field. I just think that Jordan Love and Green Bay are going to be competitive, and this could be one of those wacky, no defense, high scoring games. I really like this. I really like this spot. I'm gonna actually put Fields in there as a placeholder. We're going to keep going down the quarterback position, though, because I do want to talk through the entire position group. I do think there are some value spots to target as well. So moving down the list here, Burrow versus Deshaun Watson week one. That could be interesting. It's certainly a game that will fly a little bit under the radar. Cleveland, you know, forget opponent rank, but Cleveland was pretty good defensively last year. What was last year doesn't always necessarily translate to this year, and week one is weird. So, you know, I don't want to allow too much DVP to kind of affect me. Week one just gets a little weird. The more certainty we could figure out in week one, the better. So again, Herbert, Tua, Miami, LA game. This game should be good for both sides. I might lean Tua over Herbert. Tua was kind of better last year than Herbert. Again, Justin Herbert was a massive disappointment machine. Just take a look at the game logs. I mean, 16, 18, 16. And you might say, well, that was last year, and this is a new year. And okay. But, you know, that did happen. There was a stretch of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, there's some 22s, but 21s, but not really, certainly not justifying the 7K price point. Then you got that 28 in there, but 13, 13, you know, a 20, 14, 9, 14. Then here's some decent mid-20s scores. But again, never quite justifying the salary. So one good thing about Justin Herbert is it's good to see him priced down a little bit. At 7K, he really needs to deliver 28 points on DraftKings. See, this is the thing. You might be like, well, it's fine. He got 22s and 23s. That's fine. No, it's not. For DFS, that is not winning us a tournament. So he was not putting up tournament winning scores. And at a salary, and he was pretty much 7K to 69, 6,800. And that was always overpriced. So to me, Herbert at 7K, yeah, okay, tournaments, but it's a little overpriced. Whereas a Jalen Hurts at 7K or 7,800 here, but in the sevens, 8, 16, 24, 32, he needs to get us, right? And he's averaging 27. So Jalen Hurts is getting you there. Here's the 30, the 30, the 30, low 20s. So the bad games are still getting us 3X, 3.5X, 30, 37. So this is kind of what you want. You sort of lock in a 3X with Hurts here. And again, Fields, very similar. When Fields is playing that game, you know, he's kind of minimal. Look at the minimal score here. Of course, there's the dud, but 22, 23, 21, 23, some 40s mixed in, right? So 8, 16, 24, he's getting you 3X almost automatic. And then when the game pops, he'll go 4, 5X. And that's what we want for a tournament play and just a general play. Give me a floor. So as we go down this list, Tua, I like Tua as well. I like him in the spot. I think they're going to have to throw a lot if this game goes high scoring. Tua plus two of, you know, Tua with Hill, great, very comfortable stacking. Herbert, not as comfortable, again, with the stack. I guess it'd be, you know, Mike Williams, something like that, but you're never sure who Herbert's going with to with the football. Trevor Lawrence, 6,500. Yeah, I like Lawrence to step it up this year. He's got more weapons. Christian Kirk, and now Calvin Ridley moves to the WR1 spot. Kirk to WR2. You got Zay Jones, WR3 now. They've got the Evan Ingram, the solid tight end. So a lot of weapons to work with. And Lawrence will run a little bit as well. I really like him to step up this season. And this is a spot where I'm perfectly good playing him in some stacks. Again, I don't think this game will be as competitive as it's showing on paper. I like Jacksonville to cover that spread easily and dominate this game, really, defensively, potentially, which might not bode well for the offense. Kirk Cousins at home? Nah. Cousins did almost nothing last season to show that he can win you a turn. Oh, there's that 1 week. A couple of pop-off weeks, but a lot of 20s, 19s, 18s. So, you know, 13s and 11s. Vikings will tend to lean on the run if they can, and they might be able to here because Tampa is kind of a dead team. So not super excited about him. Geno, I think, is playable. Again, not something I'm going to be super excited to play, but playable here at 6K. I like the price point. Deshaun Watson didn't do much last year. Let's see what he has for us this year. Russell Wilson, not a DFS play for me. Here we get to the rookie zone. Anthony Richardson, he'll do it with his feet, but I'm not sure I could trust any sort of rookie quarterback week one, but that price is tempting on a run first quarterback. So that is a tempting price point, 5,600 for tournaments. I'm not sure I'm going to trust that as a cash play, but that's a tempting price point. Let's keep going. Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. I'm not sure. I definitely don't want to be messing with these guys in their first ever NFL game. Jordan Love. Here it is. All right. So we talk about the cheapest viable. I mean, you've got Sam Howell down here. You've got Baker Mayfield down here, and both are probably going to start for their teams, but they're both pretty bad. I think Sam Howell, yeah, he didn't do that bad. Ran it a little bit last year. Actually, okay, I guess I could get down with Sam Howell at 4,900 against the Cardinals, a terrible opponent. Baker Mayfield, going to be tough for me to get excited about. I mean, he's such a dud for fantasy purposes. It's so bad. I can't get down with that. But, and you know, all of these subject to change as the season goes on. If you show me something different, all I can go by is what they've done throughout their history. Jordan Love, though. Jordan Love's interesting. It's an interesting spot. We didn't get a full game of Jordan Love last year. He did play a little bit and looked pretty good in stretches. But this matchup is really good. I think he could come out hot. I think he could come out firing. I don't mind the spot at all for Jordan Love. As a matter of fact, if we want to go down, so it's, I guess we like both sides of this game. Fields, if we need a cheap version of it, Jordan Love. Jordan Love will not run the football. That's not what he's going to do. He is a pocket passer, but he's a really comfortable guy to pair up with either Romeo Dubs or Christian Watson. You know, there are definite pairings here that make a lot of sense. So Jordan Love in the mix week one. In the value side, I think on the stud side, we want to stick with Fields or Hurts. And then in the game targeting side, probably, you know, Tua and Herbert will be ways to look, and maybe a little bit of T-Law. So interesting quarterback situation for NFL week one. Let's take a look at the running backs now and just get a sense of, again, where they're projected, who looks good this season. I'll just give you a little overview. This will help with some fantasy football thoughts too. If you're drafting fantasy football leagues, one of the things that I suggest doing is looking at these salaries and understanding, oh, what's the value of a Nick Chubb or Christian McCaffrey or Bijan Robinson, you know, relative to, you know, a guy that you might get a few rounds later, right? 5K versus an 8K. Understanding that, like, the higher the dollar amount for the player, you know, the better that player probably is. Like, if you're drafting your team and you're, like, trying to make a decision between, you know, some of these players, look at the salary. Let that be the final deciding point. If you're taking, like, A.J. Brown, for example, and you think, oh, I should take him above Cooper Kupp or Tyreek Hill, maybe you shouldn't. These guys are salaried higher for a reason. So this can actually help you with your fantasy football decisions. Although it's not the end all be all against some of these people are priced, I think, very incorrectly. And there are values that we can exploit in NFL week one. So let's take a look at some of that here, right? So starting at the top, Justin Jefferson, obvious stud. We know Jefferson. Cooper Kupp, he's the man. If you can afford 8,800, great. Cooper Kupp, same deal. Freaking stud. With anytime Stafford has been at the helm, Kupp has feasted. I don't see any reason this will go different. 8,400 is a little pricey, so want to kind of focus him with his teammates. Tyreek Hill, same deal. Great spot, great situation. Is an absolute stud and is in a good situation for scoring. We want to target this game. Love that. Chase, sure, of course, always in the mix. Devonta, you know, one of the tough things is like, Kev, how do I know which stud wide receiver to play this week? And this will come up all throughout the NFL season. Like, who do we know? There's a lot of good games. You know, you don't really need me to point out that Tyreek Hill is like a good play every week. And really, it comes down to we could look at DVP numbers. We could look at some advanced metrics and whatnot. But in the end of the day, it's best to just build around themes so that we're acknowledging that we're just guessing. Like, I don't know. Justin Jefferson is a threat to go off every single week. I don't know if it's going to happen this week. Cooper Kupp will go off. He's a threat to go off anytime he's out there. But it probably will happen this week. But there's no way of really having the greatest differentiation between these kind of plays. It's just, yeah, they're all good. So the best thing to do is just build around themes. If it's built around a game, a QB pairing, or just mix and match them in. And that's all I can really say about that. We're not seeing like great values or anything like that. It's just, yeah, these are all good spots. Devonta Adams, yeah, good spot. And, you know, sure, probably not who I'm going to be looking to pay up for, but Devonta Adams should do just fine with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. Yeah, we got AJ Brown here and Devontae Smith. Note, this is one of those interesting notes that I think I pull over to DFS, to fantasy, which is that AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are priced about the same in DFS, especially in PPR formats. And they're kind of widely separated in fantasy drafts. So, you know, think about that. There's no reason to be taking AJ Brown so early when Devontae Smith is available like a round and a half to two rounds later. Keenan Allen, always fine, but rarely going to win you a tournament. I think there's some overpriced spots here, like Metcalf is probably a little overpriced at 7K. Definitely not somebody I'm interested in. Hopkins feels a little overpriced here. Lockett, this whole scene feels a little off to me in terms of the salary levels. Jerry Jeudy up well over 6K. I mean, prove it, right? I don't know. Ridley priced here, fine, but probably somebody I'm looking to pair more with Trevor Lawrence than anything else. Let's see, Chris Olave. Yeah, I like that spot. Not a bargain, fully priced in. Olave didn't have, as much as I love Olave coming into the season, it's not like, you know, he had a lot of smash games last year. He only had a couple of games over 20 fantasy points. Obviously, new quarterbacks and new situations in play in New Orleans, but I'm not sure if it's that much better of a situation. Terry McLaurin, no, not super excited there. Evans, no, not super excited there. Pittman, be careful of Pittman this year. This is a guy I'm going to be careful about. Anthony Richardson is not likely to throw a lot for the Colts. I don't see him throwing a lot of passes or anything like that. So, you know, I don't really get Michael Pittman too much. I can eat those words, but for now, I don't really get it. What's the point? I don't get it. Why am I targeting this guy on a team that's not going to throw the football? That's not ideal. Christian Watson, I do like this. So if we're building around this game, we could take a look at Watson. And there's a cheaper version of Watson as well that we could take a look at. But Christian Watson is certainly in my mix as I've started this lineup with Fields. So we're kind of building a team around this game. I'm going to pop Christian Watson in there. But I think Romeo Dubs might be just as good play, although this will probably vet itself as the preseason rolls on. I have a feeling that we might, you know, the rumors were Love and Dobbs have this great connection and they looked great in the preseason last year. So maybe that's where the connection is. But for now, I'm going to put in Watson, and DJ Moore. So we're going to start a pretty balanced build here with Fields throwing it to DJ Moore, come back from the same game, Christian Watson. I like that. Now let's continue down the wide receiver group, because we wide receiver on DraftKings is always where you need to find a value. You almost cannot make a lineup without finding like a 4K or a 4.5K or a 3.5K wide receiver. That tends to be how lineups need to be constructed on DraftKings, especially when you don't have like a 2.5K tight end to throw in there or something else. So we're going to keep looking through the wide receiver position, get a sense of some values. I like Cooper Kupp here priced under 6K. He's still who he is. He's the starting wide receiver. He's a stud for his team. He's the number one wide receiver. This game looks like it could be juicy. Cincinnati at Cleveland. I like that spot. I'm dumping him in my lineup here. Mike Williams is certainly interesting, part of a good game. Christian Kirk, I don't think people will be on Kirk, as Ridley will suck people in for more, but maybe it'll be a Kirk week. Drake London, sure, gets all the targets. Has not had the big monster games, but look at the target numbers for 5,400. And there's no one else there on the team to take passes. So, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they're just going to keep throwing to him. I expect a little bit more of the same. So I don't mind Drake London week one. Deontay Johnson, also a guy heavily targeted, can't really score a touchdown, but that price is just very attractive for the number of targets he'll probably get. Not into Marquise Brown, not into Cortland Sutton at all. Rookie wide receiver Addison, that ain't for me. Michael Thomas could be interesting at 5,100 if he's healthy. Keeping on moving on. Keep on keeping on. Down this list. Jacoby Myers, Brandon Ayuk here. Okay. All right. I don't normally like San Francisco wide receivers when they're all healthy, but maybe. FanDuel, DraftKings, not really sure. So looking for some sleepers. Again, you know, one cool thing about this format is this gives you some idea of, oh, wow, there are some sleeper plays here. How about Nico Collins and Van Jefferson? More for your best ball teams. Grab these guys while you can. They're going to be featured players on their teams. They're priced like kind of expensive. They're going to be featured players on their teams. And they're going so late in best ball, so they're almost free. Darnell Mooney, Romeo Dubs here. Again, if we wanted to save some money over Watson, I think we'd go down to Dubs. I do want to have this little game stack built, though. I'm going to leave Watson in there because I think he's got more upside. But I just, you know, just mentioning Dubs is out there as a bargain play. Let's see who else looks like a bargain here. Tyler Boyd, no. Parker, nah. Zay Flowers, I think, is definitely in play, even week one. This guy's been lighting up the preseason. He might be the number one wide receiver for his team. Even early on, we could get some action from Zay Flowers, so I'm interested in him. DJ Shark also could be the best wide receiver on Carolina right now, so certainly worth a shot to take a look at DJ Shark at 3,900. Elijah Moore, sure, why not? I mean, let's wait and see what we hear in preseason, how he's looked, how they're using him, but he's certainly somebody that could pop up as an extreme value as the preseason wears on. Let's see. Allen Robinson, no. John Mechie, maybe. Dortch, Terrace Marshall is on my radar. I'm not saying I'm playing in week one, but he's on my radar. Keep an eye on him. He could be the best wide receiver in Carolina. We don't know. Scrolling on down, I'm trying to see if anybody just quickly pops off the page to me here. And at this moment, no. So took a look at the wide receiver group. We've taken a look at the quarterback group. Let's shift over to the running back position. There are definitely values and some starters we can get for lower prices here. So let's run through it. I'm starting at the top again. We've got Christian McCaffrey. Just not somebody I'm paying up for week one. He does not get enough work to justify the salary. I don't see how he pays off 9, 18, 27, 36 fantasy points. Again, Pittsburgh game, low scoring. Healthy Elijah Mitchell right now. That ain't for me. Austin Eckler could pop off at any time. He's certainly of interest here, but he also could dud you out at any time as well. You see the 18s, the 10s mixed in with the 35s and 23s. He's all PPR. So you really need a lot of reception work out of him. And I do think that the Chargers will continue to look to find other solutions. Nick Chubb was great last year. He's getting all the work. Perfectly acceptable play here. Bijan Robinson. You know, I don't mind Bijan Robinson, but they're going to run the shit out of him. Week one, he could be fine. He could get us a nice little score. I think they'll throw to him. I think they'll run him. He'll probably get 25 touches. So I'm fine with that. I think it'll be low owned. People like to wait to have seen it first before they start to pay up for a player. So might get a little bargain, or we might get a low owned Bijan pop on week one. Some standout spots though. So Josh Jacobs here. Not bad at 7,700 at Denver. That's fine. Josh Jacobs was a stud for most of last season. You know, we had those 37 point that run in the middle of the season that was unreal, and it just got 50 points. I mean, some of these games were just crazy. You know, he got the 40, 39 and a half, 33, 37. There's a 50 in the mix. He was just really good last year. We'll see if it was a 1 year kind of explosion hit wonder thing, but it was interesting. Ramondre, not the best spot here at home against Philly. Philly's just a good team and probably going to be ahead in that game. Not sure if that's the worst thing for Ramondre, as he'll be the pass catching back role, but we still have to see what New England does with that backfield. Travis Etienne, I think is a little bit overrated. I don't like the price point for him at 6,900. The fantasy points per game last year, 13 and a half. It just doesn't match up with this salary, 7-14. It's just a rule of thumb. You want their average fantasy points to be about 2.5x what the salary is at worst. So if this guy's putting up 13.5, his salary should really probably be a lot closer to 6 or 5,500 than 7K. 7K, that'd be 14, 15, 16 fantasy points per game. 16.5, that's where you want a 17K guy. Let's take a look at some of the other guys in this zone, because you'll see. Yeah, there it is. Joe Mixon, he was a 16.5 point. So that makes sense for 7K. Doesn't make sense for the 13.5 point guy. And I know you're like, oh, you look at average fantasy points per game. Yes, that's an important number. I definitely look at it. I definitely use it to help inform my decisions, unless the situation of the player has changed to where, oh, yeah, that happened last year, but now he's this, or he's the starter. I mean, nothing's changed for Travis Etienne. He'll be in the same role he was in. His team's a little better, so that's cool, but he'll still be in the same role he was in. So unless we see them throwing to him more or some change in overall, like, I think he's probably a little overpriced for what our expectation is. I'd rather use someone like Joe Mixon, who's priced below him, similar matchup, but averages more fantasy points and actually has an improved situation in the sense that his competition for touches is no longer with the team. So Mixon stands out to me significantly above Travis Etienne. Kamara, no. Dobbins, if he plays, I think will be a really interesting spot. I don't know why it's saying out. J.K. Dobbins is fine. And if he plays week one against like a horrible Houston team at home, this could be why Lamar Jackson and that ridiculous salary doesn't pay off, because Dobbins gets a lot of the work. But again, Dobbins, not much of a pass catcher. Never has been the greatest DraftKings risk. Alexander Mattison, fine, but fully priced. James Conner, no. That's a losing effort. I mean, they could throw to him a little bit, but man, no. That team is just a mess. Cam Akers. So let's get to a couple of names that I really kind of like and I think are really good bargains here. And it's not going to be Aaron Jones, although, you know, he's fine too. And it's part of this game that we're interested in. But Cam Akers. So let's start with this. Cam Akers getting the full workload for his team. He was putting up, you know, good double-digit numbers towards the end of last season, getting lots of touches. Yeah, he's given us every 23 touches, 22, three targets. This is good. Not bad at all. And some Cam Akers, 3,200, 6,200. That's a nice little value right there. Kenny Walker, same deal, same game, similar situation. Kenny Walker, everybody's worried about Zach Charbonnet. You know, Kenny Walker was pretty damn good last year, so I'm not that worried about Zach Charbonnet here. I probably prefer Akers just a little bit because Walker's workload might be a little lower, but not that much. And he's at home. And these are really similar plays here at 6K. Starting running back, 6K. Don't be scared. Just do it. It's fine. A couple other, two more names that I'm excited about. And then some other, you know, let's call them possibilities. Miles Sanders, love this spot for him. I think Miles Sanders is going to have a career resurgence with Carolina this year. They ran the shit out of Donta Foreman. Like, whoever was there last year, they were running the shit out of them. Chuba Hubbard, the only competition for touches. Give me some Miles Sanders. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to run him. Worth the shot. Rashad White, the starting running back, a good pass catcher. His quarterback, Baker Mayfield, loves throwing passes to the running back position. I love Rashad White this year. I think we're going to be paying a lot more for him. The negative to him right now is his team's not that good. You know, and that sucks when you're a running back. You want your team to be good. I get it. But with all that being said, we're getting the primary starter on his team that catches passes with a quarterback that is one of the most prolific checkdown quarterbacks in the NFL that had made the careers of Gurley and these type of guys just with his checkdowns. Not actually, who the hell? It's Baker Mayfield. So Kareem Hunt or whoever the hell he was throwing, checking down to. But he's a checkdown guy. He was checking down to Cam Akers last year when he was throwing to him. Look at Akers is the example. Getting 3-4 targets. So I definitely like Rashad White this year. He is the starter for his team for $5,500. I love a bargain running back. Let's talk some more of these running backs, though. See if there's anybody else of interest. I mean, DeAndre Swift, I guess. Okay. Never trust the Eagles to give a lot of volume to any running back, but he could pop off, so it could be an interesting tournament play at some point. Khalil Herbert, I think people will be interested in that. Jeff Wilson Jr., I don't even know who Miami's kind of going to start at running back. I think there are too many names there that are healthy to trust any of them. Brian Robinson, no. Samaje Perine. They're saying Jamal Williams, Javonte Williams. Where's he? Wait a minute. Got him at 5,700, Javonte Williams. They're saying he's healthy, so I don't know. Let's take a look at. We'll keep an eye on the Denver running back situation. It's hard to believe that Javonte Williams will be actually healthy and make any sort of an impact early based on the injury that he had. But, you know, what do I know? Let's see how the preseason plays out. Tank Bigsby, no. Eli Mitchell, no. Rashad Penny, maybe. Taji Spears. Devon Achane, 4,900, a little too expensive. So outside of an injury or some other weird situation that thrusts an unexpected name into a starting role, I think this is where we're going to probably live for running back position this week. And why not? We can get starters in this 5K, low 6K range that are pretty good. I think this is probably how I like to see it. So keep an eye on some of these names. Sanders as well. We talked about some other names that could slip right in there. Now, as you guys know, before I finish out a lineup, I like to find the cheapest viable defense. So let's go through the defense position. Lots of viable defenses here, and we'll talk through why some of them are viable, but we'll go through that and find the cheapest viable one we could find. So right at the bottom, Texans. No, I don't like that at Houston. I don't like Bucks on the road. Don't love the Raiders on the road at Denver either. Colts at home, probably not. Dolphins on the road, that's a no as well. Arizona at Washington, okay. Sam Howell, rookie, sort of young quarterback going for Washington. I think Cardinals are going to lose that game, though, but I don't hate the spot. Certainly could blow up in the face of the young quarterback. Titans at New Orleans, meh. Browns at home, that's not a spot I'm interested in. Panthers, no. Run-heavy game, not something I'm going to get super excited about. Acceptable, but not crazy good. Here, no to the Patriots, no to the Rams. Packers may be playable here. Obviously, Chicago, Fields was a turnover machine and has not been, even though he produced a lot of fantasy production, hasn't been the best. But the first team that really stands out to me are the Commanders at home against Arizona. And again, that's just because who the hell is the quarterback for Arizona right now? Who is the quarterback? As a matter of fact, I'll show you because I don't even know. Who's the quarterback for Arizona? Colt McCoy? It's not going to be Kyler Murray. He's not ready. Who's their quarterback? So it's going to either be Colt McCoy, who, okay, but he was on some sort of pup. He had some injury issues as well. Or it's going to be one of these guys. Clayton Tune? These other two? Blau and Driscoll? So I don't know who the quarterback is, but it ain't a good scene, and it's not Kyler Murray. So it could be Colt McCoy, but you know what? Colt McCoy ain't that good. Three interceptions. Let's see what he did. Yeah, with some starts last year. Almost always an interception. Fumble. Turnovers. Just 5 turnovers in 4 games. It's not even as bad as it could be. And he might not even be the guy. So I think Washington is definitely in play there for that price. I put him in because I want to see how much money I have left, to be quite honest. Let's see. After Washington, let's see. Bengals, no. Steelers, no. Chargers, no. Falcons, no. Seattle, probably not, although maybe. I don't know if I want to pay up there. Saints, no. Jaguars, yes, going up against the rookie. We want these teams going up against these rookies. So Anthony Richardson, sure, I'll take the Jaguars there. Eagles, always playable. Ravens, most definitely the best spot, you know, going up against the rookie Stroud, but I'm not paying $4K for a team defense. So going to leave it with the Commanders here. Let's go with that. Now, let's take a look at the tight end position. Again, we got about 49.50 average remaining. So basically, I have two options here. Either I go for a cheap tight end, which I like doing, and then I can get one more sort of decent player in there, probably a running back or a wide receiver mid-level, or we would go luxury with the tight end, and then we'd have to use effectively a punt wide receiver. And I'm cool with either way. I'm good with either approach here, right? We got 49.50. So let's see what it looks like. So you if you go with the luxury tight end, okay, we play Mark Andrews. 3,700, we're going to find effectively a super punt at wide receiver. And we could do that with, you know, there's some wide receivers here. John Mechie, fine, you know. We don't really know which of these guys. Terrace Marshall, some of the names I mentioned before, right? Nothing looks great. Don't look sexy. Elijah Moore would be in that mix for me. If we didn't go luxury at the tight end position, but picked, let's say, what you generally want to be doing, which is finding your bargains at tight end, then we can kind of flip the script here and get one more kind of studly or medium-level studly player in there. So I'm going to throw David Njoku, but just like taking a look through, you know what, I'll talk through the tight end position before we get there. But like Mark Andrews, yeah, great. Love him. You know, resurgent year, very possible. TJ Hockenson looked great with the Vikings last season. It's a good matchup for him. Love the Hockenson spot. Look at the fantasy points per game is really good. 25, 38. I mean, he popped off on occasion last season, 42. So this guy, the arrow's pointing up for Hockenson. I think he's legitimately going to be like that number 3 tight end in the group. George Kittle, I rarely kind of play him when everybody's healthy. Dallas Goedert doesn't stand out to me at that price. Tyler Higbee just makes no sense here whatsoever. He's done nothing to give you any indication that he should be an expensive. Yeah, no, it's too expensive. Higbee needs to be, let's see, where was he last year? That's where he needs to be. Yeah, 3,200, 35, 30, and 30, closer to 4K. Dalton Schultz, new team, don't trust that. Evan Ingram, perfectly acceptable play here. Not going to give us the sort of leeway that I want for this last spot, coming in at 4,700, but he's a perfectly acceptable play. He's just one of many, many talented offensive players on that Jaguars team. So yeah, he's fine, but I need to save a little bit more to get to where I want for this last spot. Yeah, Dalton Schultz, I don't trust in his first game. Kyle Pitts, meh. Cole Kmet matches with Fields, but another name that really doesn't justify the price tag, I think, as much. I just don't think it justifies the price tag. I mean, he, you know, yeah, will his team take a step forward? But again, 8.7 fantasy points per game last year on a $4,400 price tag. That's, you know, it's 2X barely. Remember, we want 2.5X, and we can get it, but we got to go down to David Njoku, who averaged 10.2 fantasy points per game last season for a cheaper $4,200 salary. And again, it's just different, you know? 5-6 targets sometimes pops to 9 targets. pops off every once in a while. He'll certainly give you a dud here and there, but I like David Njoku. I don't love that the Browns have more weapons, but this is a game against the Bengals. They're going to need their weapons. Bengals are going to score. So I think we're going to need an answer from these guys. It kind of makes me not want to play Cooper. I don't really want two wide receivers from the same team. So I'm actually going to have to adjust that spot as well. So let's take a look at our final two spots in this lineup. See if we can find something that makes sense. So we need at least one wide receiver, and then we're going to finish it out with either a quarterback or wide receiver. So looking at the low end here, we got Drake London in an interesting situation, right? He's still the only game in town. At 5,400, that's a good price point for us. We got Christian Kirk when everybody is going to be on Ridley. And I think that's certainly interesting. Mike Williams here. Mike Williams will pop off every once in a while. Let's see what he does in week one. Yeah, he didn't do much week two last year. He'll pop off, but there's a lot of healthy talent on that Chargers offense. So I don't mind that spot, but I'm not like going to go crazy for it. And that's about it. We got to choose from one of these, and then we'll have a running back to grab. If I go too expensive again, we're going to end up back down in the super punt zone for that flex. So let's see if, again, maybe I can find a sub 4K guy that I don't hate, but I don't think so. No, for the first look, it ain't going to work, guys. I'd have to either go Romeo Dubs down here, and it's not going to work on the first look. We need, later in the offseason, we'll find the supreme values. So for here, I'm just going to throw in a name that I think will get plenty of locked-in value, volume. I still like Amari Cooper there, but it doesn't really work with David Njoku, so I'm going to switch to Drake London, and now we'll go to the flex and see what we can afford for the last spot. And you know what? Back to Cooper, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders. I'm not doing Harris. Probably not doing Kenny Walker. Although I don't hate Kenny Walker here, but I just don't. 6, 12, 18, 24. I feel like 4X is the absolute top for him. So I don't want to go back to Amari Cooper. There's Javonte Williams. He's been hurt. Miles Sanders. I don't mind that. And if I go cheaper here again, I will be able to pay up a little bit elsewhere. So actually for now, what I'm going to do with this one is I think we'll go Mike Williams and just get a piece of this very exciting Chargers-Miami game now. This is by no means a final product, guys. This has just been a nice look at NFL week one. We saw the salaries. We see some bargains. A lot of stuff will present itself. We haven't even done projections for this yet. So a lot of stuff is going to present itself, but I couldn't be more excited for NFL week one. Let me talk a little bit about some of the stuff we have going on here in the channel. We'll be doing first looks every single week. As usual, we've got the whole crew, Statsational, and myself breaking down the bets each week. We've got Burns and Bobby Wow and DFS Up North and Bob. The whole crew coming back, a lot of the same content. Make sure you're subscribed to the DFS Army YouTube channel. We're going nonstop this season. So that's going to do it for my DraftKings NFL week one, way too soon, little overview. Let's have some fun. It's early in the offseason. Another reminder, midway through August, we start what I call live stream back test season, right? We're going to go use the Domination Station Optimizer. We're going to re-optimize the entirety of the 2022 season. We'll run through all of those weeks, get back in the game of attacking tournaments. We're going to bring on Burns. He's just getting ready to drop his Millie Maker winning strategies. Full book. It's paperback. It's awesome. I've read it. It's fantastic. It's going to teach you the math behind how to win the Millie Maker. And all that good stuff. We're going to bring them on. We're going to do some back testing together. We're going to flex our DFS muscles, and we're going to get ready for the upcoming season. So I look forward to that. I look forward to all of you guys. I love your comments. Let me know what you think. Let me know who you love week one. Who are the values? Who are your sleepers for week one? Hit me in the comment section below. And of course, we'll be back throughout the offseason with more content. We're just going to keep hammering this stuff out, taking a closer look at week one in a few weeks. Of course, it'll look really, really different. So Let's get ready for that. And I will see you guys at the top of the leaderboards.